join me in praying for Mary before she preaches.
Lord Jesus, we come before you for Mary. Lord, I ask that all the stuff that you've placed in her mind that has settled down in on her soul would come out through her mouth, and that we would have ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We ask your anointing of your Holy Spirit upon her. And we thank you, Lord, that you will use her to bring us to a place of rest today. Mm-hmm. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. How are you guys? I hope everyone had an awesome Christmas. It was a pretty great day for myself. So I think that there's two types of people when it comes to Christmas. Well, I pretty much know this. But I think this meme says it all for December. That when there's these two type of people, either you're Buddy the Elf that's like, yeah, it's Christmas time, oh my gosh, that's me. I'm literally the epitome of Buddy Elf. You can ask my coworkers, I have a Christmas tree in my office. Or you're this guy that says, so it begins, when they're singing Christmas music right after Thanksgiving. Again, you might be Buddy and you're singing Joy to the World, blasting it loud, singing it so all can hear. And you're decorating everything and you're making it that awesome moment. Or you're these people. Oh, sorry. You are either the Grinch or you're Bah Humbug. But I think for me, especially this year, it was hard. I felt like I was swaying in between both because I was so busy. I was almost at a point where I didn't want to celebrate Christmas because of my busyness that was going on. I was so caught up that I was like, I have to do this and I have to be here. And there were so many expectations and so many things that were heavy that I have to do. And I was like, okay, I have to be here and I have to do this. And some of you guys have family, so you're getting prepared and you're buying gifts. And it was just like all this. I was about to call Christmas with the cranks and just go on a vacation and forget it all. And it was just because I was tired. I don't know how many of you had, oh, and this is the other one. It's like when your family argues on Christmas, well, happy birthday, Jesus. Sorry your party's lame. Because we're all arguing. And we miss the real meaning of Christmas almost because we're so busy and wrapped up in our busyness and our burdens and just everything that's going on. And we're tired. So this morning we're going to be talking about rest. Because I think a lot of us need to hear it. I think of a lot of us need to sit and hone in and just listen what the Lord has to say about rest. These past few weeks, we have been talking about, Jeff went over dysfunction, loneliness, locks during this time. And then we talked about awe/joy last week. And one of the ways to maintain awe and joy is to rest. To keep that joy is to rest. But to also get through the dysfunction, loneliness, and loss is to rest in Jesus. Is one of the ways is to get through that is by resting. So I want to talk about resting today. Some of you are going to be like, Mary, how are you going to do that? Are you going to let us nap? If you need to close your eyes and just listen with your eyes closed, you're allowed to do that. There's freedom in this place to do that. If you, but I just pray that you just soak in this today and just hear me. So we're going to be in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. On the Pew Bible, it's page 792. If you have your own Bible, go ahead and do that. There's no shame in using your phone. If you have an electronic Bible, go right ahead. If you just want to listen, you can do that too. I will be reading. But first, I just want to give you some context before we jump right in. So this is earlier in the chapter, Jesus is walking through a city. He's in the city at the beginning of the chapter. He's with John the Baptist, and he's talking to the city people. To let you know a little more context about Matthew, Matthew is written to the group of Jewish people so that they can understand that Jesus was the true Messiah that has come. So in verse 20, it says, then Jesus criticized the cities where he did most of his miracles. He criticized these cities because the people there did not change their lives and stop sinning. They were more focused on the miracles and not the miracle maker. They were more focused on the miracles and not the mere miracle maker. So today, we're going to read a little bit farther on to this in 25. So again, it's on 792, and let's read. At this time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you have pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's a good word, right? Amen. So, we're going to just hone in on Matthew 11. We're going to break it down because there's a lot there in the very short time that we're reading it. So right away in the first verse of 25 of what we just read, it talks about how we need to have that childlike heart. And it's hard because it's like a lot of times as adults, our know-it-allness gets in the way of that. We think that we have to have it all together, that we have to be an adult. And there's this one way to adult. I've been adulting on my own for the past 7 months of like actually living in an apartment and everything on my own. Let me tell you a little secret that I was told. No one knows how to actually adult. There's a different way to adult in every way. There's a different way to do it. But we're called to have a childlike heart. In Matthew 18, later on, it talks about you must change your thinking you must change your thinking and become more like a little children. So, put it in this way. You know, like a two-year-old, okay? If you give a two-year-old a task and you're like, all right, you're going to run and go do this, they will bulldoze a wall for you with their bodies if you do that. But if you told me to do the same task as a two-year-old and I saw the obstacle in front of me, I would tell you, no way, no how, I don't have that resilience, I can't do it. We need to have that childlike resilience of just following the direction of a father that we truly trust and just run full force ahead and do what he calls us to do. We just got to trust in that and like have that resilience and that childlikeness to go and do it. Let's move on to the next. Let's go to 27. "And all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Oh, so good. All right. we only can know God when Jesus reveals him to us. This is by Chuck Smith, who said this. He's a biblical commentary writer. He says that, and that is so true. And we see in that verse alone, we see the special relationship between the Father, our Lord Father, and the Son of the earth. There are three people combined in one, but there's this special relationship, and there's no secrets between them. There's such joy in this passage between one of them, and they're showing you, through Jesus, he's giving us that invitation. He wants to reveal himself to us. We know God the Father because he stoops low to us to make himself known. Guys, he wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he makes himself revealed to us. We don't have to go climbing up a ladder like other religions to go to a God. Our God comes down to us at our level and meet us where we're at. If we're in that pit, we're on the ground, and we're like just in the dirt, in the grimy grossness on the floor, Jesus is crawling right next to you and said, "Let's go, let's sit in this." He's ready to be there. All right, let's go to 28. It's my favorite line. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest." Oh, so good. You guys, this is an invitation. This piece right here is the invitation that Jesus asks of us. He says, come to me, all who are wearied and burdened. I will give you rest. It's an invitation. So By Carson, he's another American biblical commentary writer. So originally, Matthew was written in Greek. And the word, then it's translated into English, and it was in the New King James Version, well, it's Latin and English. But it says laden and heaven, like the words that it translates to is wearied and burdened. And so it's broken down to the smallest part. And so because of the translation of it, it says wearied implies the burdens that we take upon ourselves. And burden implies the burdens other put on us. How many of you guys are holding on to some burdens that people put on you? Maybe it's by your parents. Maybe it's by your friends. Maybe it's yourself as well. That I have to take this on. Perception is not a good thing sometimes. Because we could perceive that everyone's trying to put this on me when we're not. And it's almost like, I know for myself this season, like, I didn't go home. So everyone was like, oh, you're not coming home. And I'm like, everyone hates me. I'm a bad daughter. Like, those were all lies. I was burdening myself with this. And then I was also creating this other busyness that I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to make all of the casseroles. I have to, like, give this many gifts. I have to. And we pile on ourselves. It's like we have this imaginary backpack, and we just pile it in. And just, like, and then when it's like you bring them out, and then you're like, all right, time to go. Throw it on your back. And you're carrying that around. And that's tiring. Like, I don't know if you remember high school and I had 16,000 binders and like 4 textbooks carrying around, and that was a heavy backpack. And I started to like slump a little bit because of it. And then like, you're just like, well, this is just not fun. So we're gonna go to Matthew 29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when I first read this, I was like, what the heck is a yoke? I was like, are we talking about an egg here? What kind of yoke is this? So we did some research, and I'm going to share that with you. Merriam-Webster defines a yoke as a wooden bar or frame by which 2 draft animals, such as oxen, are joined at the head or neck for working together. So this is what it looks like. It's a bar that goes across 2 different oxen, 2 animals, to plow the fields. And they're used, and they have to go together. You are locked in together. You have to go at the same pace. You have to make sure that, like, they go at the same time. They have to, like, you have to pace with one another. And you're locked into this. So when training a new animal, such as an oxen, to plow, ancient farmers often yoked it to an older, stronger, and more experienced animal who bore the burden and guide the young animal through the learning process. Let's just look right back at the verse for a second. It says, for my yoke is easy and my burden, but then, in 29 it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. We're not in this alone. This life is not meant to be lived alone. If you're taking on that yoke with Jesus, he's right there next to you, and he's going to pace with you and go with you in this. This race is not run alone. It's with him. He's going to make sure he's going at your pace. You need to slow down. He's not going to just dump the thing on you and be like, oh, carry it all. No. And it says that his yoke is easy and light. It's going to be a weight you can carry. It's a weight where it's almost like, it's, you know, when you start lifting weights, like, I'm not a weightlifter, but if you start lifting weights, over time, that just gets, like, easier and easier and easier. And by the time, like, if you're doing it every day, you're going to be able to straighten out your neck. Like, it's right here on your shoulder. So you're going to be able to, like, straighten out your back and your neck. God's asking for those burdens, and he's going to give you a yoke that you can carry. Other religions put heavy yokes upon the people, forcing them to earn their salvation. But Jesus' yoke is easy because he gives the strength and the captivity for every task. This was by Chuck Smith. Guys. We said it before, how other religions, you have to climb up. don't. Like, Jesus gives you the captivity to do this. And last week we learned about how Jesus came into this world as not, like, as a regular king would. We talked about this last week. He was born in a barn. He came down to us. He talked to the people that were unlikely. He had such a wide range that he would do this for us. But you guys, this is an invitation today to do this, to rest in him. At this point, you're probably looking at me like, Mary, how are we going to do it? Okay, you got me here. We read this. Now we're going to apply it. So I'm going to tell you guys a story. It's about Mary and Martha. It's a biblical story from Mary and Martha. It's in Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to read from it. I'm just going to summarize for you guys. Please go back and read it. It's an awesome story. But Mary and Martha. So Jesus is in another town. He's walking through. And he ends up staying at Martha's house. And that could be a little nerve-wracking having Jesus stay at your house. I know about you guys, but, like, that's a little scary. You're like, oh, my gosh, I have to clean. I have to get all this dust out. They're in a desert, so there's a lot of sand. There's dust. There's, like, all these things. But not only Jesus came, but his followers as well. So, of course, you get in, like, you're getting the whole group with him. So, like, that's a lot of people to prepare for. So she's running around trying to do this, and she has a sister named Mary. And Mary's, like supposed to be helping her. And then at one point, she sees Mary sitting over at Jesus' feet, as you see in the picture. She's just sitting there. And Martha's all like, Mary, what you doing? We got things to do. Like, what are you doing? And so Martha goes over, upset, and goes, Jesus, tell my sister to help me. And he goes, actually, come join us, Martha. Come and sit at my feet. Because Mary was resting. Mary's probably so tired of the busyness and, like, the all the things going on, and she's burdened by Martha of, like, she has to do this, this, and this to be a good, be a homemaker, and she has to clean this, and, like, she just got to sit at the feet of Jesus and rest. And that was just one of, and there's multiple ways to do this. We need to be like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. And when we sit at the feet of Jesus and actually behold him and let him direct us, we will be rested and filled with what we need. So like I was saying, there's a lot of ways that we can do this. There's something called spiritual instincts. There's about 7 of them. There's a few books on it. But I took, these are from Ron and Wanda Walburn. They're from Nyack College. They're awesome people. They were my professors. So I just kind of took this, and I'm just going to run through the 7 of them really fast. If you want to have a longer length conversation, come talk to me. We can have this. But there's 7 different ways that have been labeled of, like, how you can, like, how you can sit at the feet of Jesus and like, let him pour into you. So the first one is aesthetic instinct. It's an agenda of majesty. So this one's more of like a traditional service. It's a traditional setting. You see it in the characteristics of like worshiping in a beauty and order. So this is more like a Catholic church or more of a traditional type church, hymns. And so like that might be one of your instincts that you really feel Jesus in. Or maybe it's a spiritual instinct of the agenda is joy. It's feeling God's presence in a place of encounter. I know one of the places that I do this one is in my car or in my shower. I just get to worship the Lord in that setting, and that's okay. It might be different for every one of you. The way that I worship is going to be the different way that Jeff worships. The way that I worship is going to be different than how Laura or anybody else in this whole church is going to worship or experience Jesus and be filled. The activist instinct is the agenda is achievement, and this is by serving. So if you maybe do Sunday supper or if you're just serving in town, that's awesome. Like, that's how you're being fed. The contemplative instinct, the agenda is listening. It's like going into the small voice and listening. This one for me was like the hardest one where Jesus is like, hey, come do this. And I'm like, I don't like being quiet, Jesus. And I learned a lot about myself. The student instinct is to agenda is truth, and the character says knowing God equals studying the word. So really getting your exegesis in, studying hard into the Bible. The relationship instinct is the agenda is love, togetherness, bringing joy, so like small groups and fellowship. The natural instinct is the agenda is creation. So going out and finding God through a river, trees, oceans, going on a lovely hike, that might be you. So you could be one of these seven. This is something to maybe try and go out and endure, like, hey, let me find out which one I'm like really can hone in on God. And if you're going through a new season, sometimes they change. And the reason why I go through these is because this life is like a blizzard. We go through multiple storms and seasons and months. This life is like a blizzard. And so this life is like a blizzard, like I said. So in the book of, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Cesaro, he talks about how the life is like a blizzard. And we only have one rope. There's very few ropes that we have. But in this analogy, so it's a blizzard going on. And what people in the Midwest and in the White Plains do, they tie a rope from their house door, and then they tie the other end to their barn. And the point is to find yourself to so you can get from point A to B safely. In the middle of a blizzard of snow going, you can't see the end of your hand. And if you didn't do this, you would be wandering in this blizzard of whiteness and not being able to see the steps that you're making. And even it said most of the time, people died from like few feet from safety. They like died right near their front door because they couldn't see it and they froze to death. But you guys, I think this is a great picture of with Jesus, that it's like he gives us this rope. And we got to hold on and we have to walk to where we're going. And sometimes we can't see, but it's we can be minutes from like safety. But if we don't hold on and we don't like hone into him, then we're going to miss that. We're not going to be safe. So I want to kind of give you, rest serves as a rope that we might live a rhythmic and hopeful way, even in the midst of a blizzard. So I kind of want to give you guys some time, because I know in the midst of a blizzard, Dustin says this to me all the time, he's like, it's really hard to plan in the middle of a hurricane. It's hard to make decisions in the middle of a storm, because we don't know what's going to look like, you don't know what's going to bring. But in the middle of the storms, the best way to get through is rest. And if you're doing a routine and bringing yourself back to Jesus in the middle of it, it's going to be easier storm. He'll calm it. He'll calm a storm. So I want to give you guys some time where you can just sit in and just hone in onto what he has. So in your bulletin, you'll see, if you don't have one, please raise your hand. But it's called a rest action plan. And if you don't raise your hand, the first impression teams will come by and give you one if you don't have one. But this is time for you guys to fill this out. It might be you need to write some burdens that you've been holding on to that you need to release. Maybe it's some things you don't want to bring back into the new year and you just need to write those out. Maybe you just need to sit in the Father's love. But I want you guys going in as a congregation into 2020 well-rested. And I want you to make a plan that you can follow when you're ready, is you can follow and you're like, hey, let me go down by the river and just sit and like see his beauty and spend time with him so that we can have more rest each day in him. So Haywood's going to play for a little bit. It's only going to be a few minutes. It's not going to be over exuberant. This might be uncomfortable for a few, and that's okay. We're going to sit in this together. But it's just going to be good just to sit in this. And then when I pray, the rest of the worship team come up and we're going to have one last session. If you just need to like work through this, we'll have people up here afterwards that you can work through this with. But yeah, spend some time with God.